Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. I kind of feel it should be a bit louder. Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to see all of you here. I want to share a few things just before I begin. The first thing I kind of want to share is I know some people have, I know this church has gone through a lot of changes in the last few months. And I am going to say, whether your take on the conference is good or bad, I'm going to say that the conference did not assign me to this church. When I was called and considering if I'm going to be moved around somewhere else, I said, I was told what church I was could consider, and I said, you know, I don't mind, I want to keep the momentum I'm building at Lentz, because we're in the middle of evangelistic series, we're in the middle of evangelism stuff going on at Lentz, we've got an evangelistic series planned for the fall, we're doing stuff at Lentz right now, but I said, if you are looking for somebody to be the pastor for Stone Tower and you can't find anybody, here I am. Amen. Send me. I'm willing. And I got called back about 45 minutes later, and Jonathan's the one that called. And he said, actually, we'd be willing to have you at Stone Tower if you'd be willing. So they did not specifically say, do you want to be the pastor of Stone Tower? I requested it. So I just want to make that clear. Like, I'm not assigned by the conference to, like, I don't know, spy on you or do anything. I am here because I felt impressed to put my name in and say, if there's no one else willing, I am willing. Amen? Amen. All right, just wanted to get that passed first. The second thing is every single revival in the Bible started with prayer. If you go with me to Genesis, this is not my sermon yet, but if you go with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, and some of you are rushing to your Bibles. Genesis 4, verse 25 and 26. Usually I have slides on the screen, but this came to me just as I was sitting down. It says, and Adam... Oh, so let's... If you're there, say amen. Amen. Okay, Genesis 4, verse 25 and 26. And we're going to go from there to Joel. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. You know, Ellen White says that when Cain was born, she thought that Cain was going to be the one to save them. And Cain goes off and kills his brother. And Adam and Eve are heartbroken. They're like, what are we going to do? And, you know, they have other sons and daughters, but they're worried about it. It says in verse, so he gets another son, Seth, and it says in verse 26, to Seth also another son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to what? People began to call on the name of the Lord. That's the first revival. After a period of discouragement, after a period where people are no longer there, there is a time of return to prayer. Every single revival starts because of prayer. It says in the book of Amos, I know I'm jumping from Genesis to Amos, all the way at Amos, if you don't need to find out, I'll just read it out. The last part of Amos, chapter 9, verse 11 to 15. In that day I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen and repair its breaches and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that it may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, where the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed, and the mountains shall drip sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall build vineyards and drink their wine. They shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Every time there's been a period in history where Israel has sunk down, God never leaves them without hope. He always leaves them with a chance that something can be better. You know, and so at the end of Amos, with Adam and Eve losing their son, with the walls of Jerusalem broken down, with all the people all the way in exile in Babylon, God... With the world the way it is today, God always promises a way out. Amen? And every revival starts with prayer. Let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer. I was going to show this to you in just a sec. Let's pray. Dear Lord and our loving Father, I want to ask that you make my message clear today. Please be with my words, be with our understanding, and help us to use our time well this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some of you saw us up front, but I know some of you are sitting kind of really far away. Apologies for those sitting really far away. So this is my wife, Kelly, who has sunglasses. This is Jonah, and Isaac is with the blue cap. The laser pointer, you can't see. But Isaac is the one with the blue cap. This was at camp at Gladstone last week for their kids thing. This is a picture of me and them when the Snack Shack was opened on Sunday. Did any of you go to the Snack Shack? Amen. My hat's a bit crooked, but that's a close-up in case you haven't seen my family yet. You'll get a chance to get to know us during lunch, and I think there's something after lunch, too? Maybe? There can be. So if you have questions, you want to ask me more questions, please do so. Let's begin. Let's begin. I already prayed. So my question to you is, when did you start to pray? Do you remember? How many of you remember the first time you prayed? Usually when you start as kids, they're like, repeat after me, right? But the first time I prayed without my parents, I was in grade 3. I was in grade 3, and we were going to go out for recess. Do you still have recess today? All right, so we're going to go out for recess, and I look outside, and it starts to rain. And I remembered in Sabbath school that God is a creator. God can do things. If we pray, we can pray for anything. So I was like, okay. I'm like, God, if you exist, like, please help the rain to go away. And then I opened my eyes, and I looked. And the rain stopped. And I'm like, wait, what? Did that just happen? And so after a little bit, the rain came back. But it's the first time that I ever tried praying by myself. Instead of repeating after my parents, I'm like, does God actually answer prayer? God, please help the rain to go away. And it actually stopped. Maybe it was for 5 minutes. But for me, in grade 3, that was enough to start my faith journey. Amen? So yeah, it started raining. That's a random Asian kid. That's not me. In case you're curious, by the way, I'm Filipino, Chinese, and Spanish. Okay, all mixed together. And I'm born on the French side of Canada. Okay, I look Korean to the Americans because every Adventist church I've been to in United States, they all ask me, "Are you Korean? Are you Korean?" And I'm like, "Annyeonghaseyo." And I'm like, "I don't know how to say that. I don't know how to say that back." But I speak French, English, Spanish, and then a few other languages. But you can ask me that later. Okay, so when did you start to pray? I've been a youth pastor for quite a few years, and I usually do this as an icebreaker. I ask them to draw a timeline, and I say, from your birth until now, I want you to mark arrows. Mark an arrow up where your life changed for the best. Mark an arrow down where you're changed for the worst. And just mark down arrows. So then they mark them down. And then I say, okay, let's go around and let's share. Share whether your life went better or you went worse. What happened? And so people are like, well, my family moved, so I lost touch with my best friend. So is that up or down? That's down. And other times it's like, well, you know what? I met this girl and like we're dating today and now she's going to be my wife. Is that good or bad? That's good, right? So people share that, and then after they finish sharing, I ask them this. Where did you meet God? Was God part of your journey? Was he one of the ups? Was he one of the downs? And when I did this, in Hinsdale, and one of the girls is like, I've been in the church for 14 years. She was 14. She said, I've never really met God. I've had good times, I've had bad times, I've been in the church all my life. I never met God. And she asked me to please pray for her. When did you start to pray? I used to be really, really, really shy. And you kind of seen my son who didn't really want to go up to Children's Story and didn't want to be up here. I was really shy. My brother would blackmail me. He'd be like, If I went to a supermarket or a place where a friend worked, I would not go and talk to their friend at their job. I would ask my brother Mark, I'm like, can you go? And he's like, I'm going to go if you give me candy. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm like, please, can you do it? You're my brother. He's like, no, you have to give me candy first. I'm not going to talk. And I'm like, here. And then like he'd go buy stuff. And I'm like, I hated it. So in grade 6, we had to do public speaking. Did any of you have to do public speaking in school? So my teacher did something really cruel. She did this. Instead of telling who's going to go when, she had a hat. And she put everybody's names in the hat. And so it's like, who's going to go speak? Am I speaking today? She's like, we're going to pull it out of that. As someone that was an introvert, I hated that. And so she'd pull, I'm like, is it me? It's not me. But you know what I started to do? I started to pray. And I'm like, God, please help it not to be me. Please help. And she'd pull it and be like, oh, it's not me. Okay, I'm good. And she'd pull another one. Oh, it's not me. She'd pull another. And the first day went by. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. The second day came and I was scared to go up again. And I started praying, God, please, please help it not to be me. And it wasn't me for the second day. And the third day. And the fourth day. And by the fifth day, there wasn't that many people left. And I'm like, God, I don't want to speak. Please, I'm gonna, and she kept doing it. And you know what? I don't know if prayer works, but I believe it does. My name was the very last name picked out of the entire class. And I was like, I mean, God, thank you for answering prayer, but I really didn't want to speak in front of people. I told God this. I said, God, if you help me break through my shyness, if you help me with public speaking, I would be willing to speak for you. I don't know if I pray that prayer out loud, but I've been preaching since then. And I'm not shy to talk to people anymore. And I used to be so scared. If you are a shy person, don't raise your hand. This is a quote from the Pen of Inspiration. We do not value the power and efficacy of what? Of prayer as we should. Prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. Do you believe this? So there's a guy named Peter, and we're not going to go through all of his story. Maybe you know it well, but I'm doing more testimonies today. But so in Matthew 14, you know, he's walking on water and he's sinking. He's afraid. He begins to cry out, Lord, save me. And Jesus is there right away, the way Jesus always is. Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Who was Peter? What was his job? What was his job? He was a fisherman. He knew what he was doing. And one night was the worst night of his life. Some people are good at what they do. Are any of you a professional at something? Have you ever had a bad day where even though you're a professional, everything goes wrong? Has that ever happened to you? So Peter is a professional fisherman. He knows how to do it, right? And he's there all night long. And how much does he catch? Does he catch 10 fish? 5 fish? He catches 0. This is a professional fisherman. And he thinks this is the worst possible day of his life. And Jesus, you know, he uses his boat for doing the sermon, but he also says, cast out. You know, let's go out into the deep. And he tells Peter, throw your net on the other side. And Peter's like, this guy's not a fisherman. What does he know? He throws it. And you know the story, right? There's so much fish that there's not even room to put it in the boat. Both boats begin to sink. And Peter realizes he's in the presence of God. And he says to him, depart from me, Lord, for I am a what? I am a sinful man. Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be a fisher of what? You'll be a fisher of men. If I were to ask Peter this question, when did you start to pray? It could be after the worst night of your professional experience. You went to school, you've done the practice, you've been in this profession for years, and you have the worst night ever. But the next day is when you meet Jesus. The next day is when you actually start. The next day is where everything turns up. And the next day is when you actually begin to pray. This famous philosopher said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? a single step. We still have a journey. We still have places to go. Later on, they're fishing. There was a massive storm. You remember this about him walking on water. They see Jesus walking on water. They think it's a ghost. And they say, if it's really you, come out. Let me walk to you. And so he walks to Jesus. But when Peter sees the wind, he begins to be afraid. He sinks and he cries out, Lord, save me. And God is there. God is there because Peter depends on prayer. They see a vision of God, and then they start to pray. When did you start to pray? Did you start to pray when things were really, really bad? Did you forget about it? Did you have maybe good times, and you forget, and then suddenly something bad happens, and then you remember, I got to pray again today? We forget about the power of prayer. Later on in the book of Acts, Peter and John are there. Jesus is not present physically anymore. But when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and when they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they noticed what? That they had been with who? They had been with Jesus. Have you ever been shy before? Are you still shy today? I'm going to tell you, this is not his real name, but this is the story of Claude. So before I was a pastor, I was a software engineer. I worked in cubicles. Did any of you work in cubicles? So see the circle? The circle was my desk. And the star is my friend Claude. That's not his real name. And something happened. I brought two Bibles here for a reason. So on the train, I started reading my physical Bible. And I came to work one day. It wasn't in my bag. It was under my arm. And I was... So this is taking place in French, okay? I'm just translating it to English. So I get into the office, and my manager, Claude, he comes up to me. He's like, what's that? And I'm like, what? He's like, that book. What is that book? And I'm like, this? I'm like, it's a Bible. And he says, can I see it? I'm like, yeah, sure, here you go. And he's like, whoa. And he's opening it, and he's turning the pages as though it is the holiest book he has ever touched in his life. And I'm like, okay. Steve, I just gave his name. Claude, have you never? Hopefully he's not listening to this. All right. Claude, have you ever touched a Bible before? He's like, no. And he says, I am Catholic. We don't read the Bible. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, I am Catholic. We don't read the Bible. We only listen to the priest. I never held a Bible before. And in my head, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, God, what should I do? And God's like, well, why don't you ask if he wants to study? So I said, Claude, do you want to study the Bible with me? And he pauses. He looks at me and he says, you want to study with me? I'm like, yeah, why not? We could study over at lunch. And he's like, okay. And so at lunch, we started studying the Bible. And this went on for about a day or two. And I went and I bought him his own Bible. And I came to him and I'm like, hey, Claude, I got this thing for you. And he's like, you're giving me my own Bible? He never ever had that. His family has a Bible, but he never had one. And so we study the Bible. We're in John chapter 3 because we're going through the book of John. At the end of lunch, I close my Bible and I put it in the shelf in front of me. You know what Claude does? He takes his Bible, it's left at John 3, and he puts it on his desk in front, open. And I'm like, you don't want to close it? He's like, no, in the Catholic Church, all the Bibles are open. I'm like, okay. All right, but, you know, like, people are going to see it. And he's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. Anyways, so I put it down, and... this is another woman in my work. She's evangelical. And she walks by. She's one of the IT heads. And she's like, Claude, are you studying the Bible? And she points at the Bible in front of him. You know what he does? He points directly at me and he says, he's trying to convert me. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I've never given a Bible study at this point. Okay, I'm just like, what is going on? So we have Messenger in our cubicle area, And my neighbor, she texts me and she's like, hey, are you guys talking about the Bible? I used to go to Bible study. I used to go to church. I don't go anymore. I have questions about tithing. Anyways, so people are talking to me, and then this guy, the triangle over there, that's the CFO, the chief financial officer. And he steps out of his office and he's like, are you guys starting a church in here? What's going on? Back when I was a software engineer, I was working in quality assurance. I was working in quality engineering. And sometimes I could just press enter twice in a day and it would print out all the reports and do everything because I automated it. And so what do I do for 8 hours when I have nothing else to do but wait for the computer to finish compiling? It's like, hey, I have questions about the Bible. I have questions. I was answering so many Bible questions that people were really saying, hey, you're really starting a church in here. This is one of the reasons I decided, God, maybe you want me to be a pastor. But there's a verse in the Bible, and we read it for our scripture reading. It says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus is the Word of God. And you know, this happened because I carried a physical Bible. If I had it on my phone, right? Do people know if you're reading the Bible? That you could be playing a game, you could be on social media, but if you're holding a physical Bible, people are going to be asking questions. They're going to wonder, why are you reading this book? Or maybe they'll be amazed at it. I was on the train. I used to take the train to work, and I had the Bible open, and I was reading the book of Jeremiah, and these two men just walked past, and then they paused. They're like, wait, he's reading the Bible. And I'm like, they came to me, and they're like, actually, they didn't say anything to me. They were just talking really loudly. They're like, he's reading Jeremiah. And they're like, we've never seen anybody read Jeremiah. Hey, can we talk to you? And I'm like, okay, sure. And we started sharing about God. And every time I brought the Bible on the bus, on the train, people asked me questions all the time. When I finally got a job that I just drove places, nobody sees me reading the Bible anymore. But on public transport, they always did. So this is what it looked like on the inside. And I'm going to tell you a very sad story. One of my other coworkers, he took the train home. And I talked to everybody at work about the Bible, even though I didn't realize it. Everybody, it's cubicles, right? The walls are not high. People can hear what's going on. And so this guy, I'm trying to not give away his first name. Just another guy. He came up to me and I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I said, do you know? And he's like, wait, you are Christian and you're going to talk to me about God. And I'm like, wait, how do you know that? He's like, I hear you talking to our coworkers. And before you say anything else, I want you to know, I know you are a Seventh-day Adventist. And I'm like, wait, how do you know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist? He says, well, you don't know me, but I was in Russia when the Iron Curtain came down. I was in Russia with Mark Finley because I was one of the people requested to translate for Mark Finley and his team when they came. And I translated him for night after night. And you know, I'll tell you two things. Number one, at the end of it, not a single person asked me if I wanted Bible studies. Not a single one. But I felt convicted by the message. And when I came from Russia all the way to Montreal, I went looking for a church that preached the Word of God and was like the Bible said. Now, he visited a bunch of churches in Montreal. Have you ever been there? There is a lot of ethnic churches. I'm from a Filipino church in Montreal. There's white churches, there's black churches, there's Spanish churches. It's divided by language in Canada. But he's like, there is no multicultural church here. You Seventh-day Adventists cannot be what the Bible says because you are being racist to one to another. And so he said, I never want to join the Seventh-day Adventist church until I find a church that is multicultural. I'm glad this church is multicultural, amen? If I was still in Canada, I would invite him to come here, but he's in Canada and I'm not there at the moment. But please pray that we connect with many more people. Amen? So we started a Bible study at this place called the YMCA. Does anybody, have you heard this before? What does it stand for? Young Men's what? Christian Association. And so me and a group of young adults back in Montreal, we were like, we want to start an evangelistic series, but we don't want to do it in a church. And one of the people that had read, she's like, well, why don't we try it at the Young Men's Christian Association? I'm like, where? Like, at the YMCA. Anyway, so we went there and we asked one of the managers, can we hold a series? And they're like, oh, we're not Christian. It's like, yeah, but you guys are Christian. You're the Young Men's Christian Association. And they were like, oh, maybe we are. We started an evangelistic series at the YMCA. We started a Bible study regularly there. And something happened. I'm going to show that picture next. So we get to the YMCA one day. I'm about to go there, and my friend Natalie calls me. And she's like, hey, David. This is, again, happening in French. But she's like, hey, David, people are coming. My coworkers are coming to the Bible study. I'm like, that's great. I'm like, when are they coming? She's like, they're coming in 30 minutes. And by the way, they're what? They're Muslim. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I never studied with Muslims before. I'm like, God, what can I do? And so me and my friend Namiko, I don't know if you heard of my friend Namiko, but we were leading the study together, and he's like, you know what? You're taking this one. I'm not sure how to deal with Muslims either at the time. So I prayed. I'm like, God, what can I talk about? And so the first time I get there and they show up, and I ask God, I'm like, what should I do? And God says, just listen. So I asked the two men that show up, I said, hey, what would you like to know about? And they said, well, actually, we want to know about prayer. The Quran says we have to pray, does anybody know? 5 times a day toward Mecca. What does the Bible say? And I'm like, oh, I think I can answer that. So I open my Bible, and I show them Daniel, and I show them, look, Daniel prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. And they said, oh, so the Quran is better than the Bible. And I was like, wait, hold on. And so I said, let me show you 1 Thessalonians. So we got to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says, pray without, you know it, pray without ceasing. The Bible says we are supposed to pray all the time without stopping. So prayer is important. And they said, wow, that is really good. We learned stuff from the Bible, from you. And I asked them, I said, well, what does prayer mean to you as Muslims? And they said, Muslims, for us, prayer is our connection to our Creator. We need to be connected. If we don't connect to God, if we don't connect to Allah, our faith is going to die. So we need prayer like we need air. And in my head, I'm like, they sound like they're Adventist. They sound like they're Christian. And so they say, we will come back next week. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know what to talk about. I'm like, what are we going to do? So the next week they show up, and I start studying about the Bible and Islam. And they brought me to the book of Daniel. And I said, okay, we're going to go through Daniel together. So let's study. And so this is the book of Daniel. So for those of you who don't know, they have to respect all the prophets. And there's the name Daniel in Arabic is Danior. And they have a shrine to the prophet Daniel with like Daniel's like kneecap or something in one of the, anyways, they follow this prophet. But have you heard of the prophet Danior? They said, yes, he is a prophet, but we do not know his book. And I said, well, I've got his book right here. Let's go through it. And so they're like, okay. So we went through Daniel chapter 1. And I talked about clean and unclean foods. Now, if you know Muslims don't eat what? Who else doesn't eat pork? Us. And so I showed how Daniel and his friends said, no, we are not going to eat the unclean food. They liked that. So next week, we covered Daniel chapter 2 about, remember that big statue? About visions and dreams. Now, a lot of North Americans don't really pay attention to visions and dreams. But in Islam, people still, they put a lot of stock in dreams and visions. And they saw this and they were like, this is amazing. In Daniel 3, the week after, we talked about idol worship. Now, the Muslims do not worship idols. That's the Hindus. The Muslims worship the Creator God. And so we talked about how in Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar made a very big idol. And he said, worship this. Well, Daniel and his friends, they would not bow down to the idol. And by this time, they're like, we really like Daniel. He really is a prophet according to the Quran. And so the next week, I said, you know what, guys? We're not going to do Bible study. I'm going to take you out to eat. We're going to go for dinner together because I don't just do Bible study. I try to take people out to eat. Has anybody been to Indian food? Does any of you like Indian food? All right, we went to an Indian restaurant together. And, you know, we get our food. And, you know, I'm getting vegetarian stuff. They're getting vegetarian stuff. And at some point in the middle of the meal, they push all the food aside. And then he takes a stack of paper and he puts it in front of me like this. Like just in front of me. And I'm like, what is this? And he says, this is 250 contradictions and errors in the Bible. And you could hear a pin drop. I'm like, I don't know what to say. And I start to pray. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. Help me. And God says, well, open it. So I just open it at a random page and I read it. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not a contradiction. This is why. That's not a contradiction. This is why. That's not a contradiction. This is why. And I go through three or four of them. And then they stop me. They say, okay, stop. We want you to tell us what is wrong with the Quran. And like you could hear silence again because I'm like, God, I don't know what to say. And they're like, what is wrong with the Quran? And so I'm like, let me just pray. And then I turn to them and I say, listen, I've never read the Quran. I have nothing negative to say about it. And they look at me and I'm like, is there anything wrong with the Quran? And I said, no, I've never read it. Why would I put it down? And they said something to me. They said, you are different from other Christians. Other Christians tell me we are going to hell for reading the Quran, for reading the Quran. They say a lot of bad things about Muhammad. You have not said anything negative about what we believe. You are different from other Christians. I thought I put the slide, I didn't. At the end of my time there, because when I eventually left them, I left to study ministry. They held up before me the Bible and the Quran. And they said, we've been studying together for many weeks now. We trust the Bible. We also trust the Quran. Which one should we follow? I had to pray again. I'm like, God, I don't know what to say. Give me the right words. And I got the words. I said, look, you trust that Allah is the creator God. I'm not going to tell you. You pray to Allah. You pray to the creator. He will tell you what to follow. They really liked that response. In our Bible study, I lifted up the Bible and I lifted up Jesus. I did not put down their beliefs. I did not put down Muhammad. I did not put down the Quran. I only lifted up the Bible and only lifted up Jesus. This applies, by the way, with you talking to anybody. Let's say you don't believe, you disagree with somebody's sexual orientation. Don't put them down. Lift up Jesus. Lift up the Bible. You disagree on someone's theology. Don't put them down. Lift up the Bible. Lift up Jesus. This verse, right? No, that's not the verse. If I be lifted up, I will draw how many? All men unto me. We don't value the power and the efficacy of prayer as we should. Prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. What should we pray for? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and without reproach. It'll be given to him. Here's another way to put it. This is the New Living Translation. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You know, you could have done the worst sin ever and ask God, God, can you give me wisdom? And God would still give it to you because he does not rebuke us for asking it. If you don't know what to pray for, ask for wisdom. Some people ask the question, I don't like what my teenager is doing, right? I don't like what the young adults are doing. But if you tell a teenager, don't do this, what will they do? They're going to do it, right? But if you ask, please, God, please help my teenager to be wise. If you train them to ask for wisdom, that's valuable. If you were to look on social media today and see all the negative and all the not smart things that teenagers do to... Have you seen not smart things that teenagers do on social media? What if we were to pray that they would have wisdom, that they would be wise? You know, in French, when you tell someone to behave, you say, soyez sage, be sage, be wise. They don't punish people. They tell the kids, be wise, be wise. In Luke 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father will give the what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. That's Isaiah talking about Jesus. God's Spirit imparts wisdom and understanding. It teaches His way of life, comforts and helps us. Even when we cannot express ourselves in prayer, even if we don't know what to say, the Spirit helps us in making our requests known to God. That's just a random person. I don't remember who it is. What Satan fears. What is Satan scared of? There is nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance, so that the Lord can pour His Spirit on a languishing and impenitent congregation. This is Selected Messages, Book 1. Satan is scared that people are actually going to clear the way, clear their schedule to pray to Him. Every single revival started with prayer. When did you start to pray? Have you forgotten? Sometimes we just pray the same prayers over and over again, but when did you start to pray again? Did you have a really bad period of life where everything was messing up? Why not start once again? At Lent, I'm doing a bit of series and I'm showing you things going on in the world. You have seen this, hopefully, but maybe you know what's going on. As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you feel that this world is getting more good or more evil? Do you see more school shootings? Have you been watching the news? Do you know what happened this week? That Trump almost got killed? Biden is sick with COVID. I'm not telling you to vote for either of them. I'm just showing you what the news is saying. The Bible says men's hearts are failing them for what? Fear and the expectation of things that are coming on this earth. You know, Jonah was in the boat, right? He was in the boat where there was a big storm and everybody was scared. They're like, call on your God. We don't know what's going on. The only person who knew was sleeping. He wasn't sharing the message, right? He was the only one not fearful. Remember when there was a big storm on the sea, the disciples were there and Jesus was sleeping, right? Do you feel that the world is fearful of what is going on, but the Adventist church is sleeping? Did I say that properly? Does it feel like it's like that we're that way? Like we're not moving like we should. We're not the Adventist movement. We're a church. We're an organization that just stays and does the same thing when mingles with only Adventist people and doesn't reach out. If the world is fearful, what should the church do? This is Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Gaza. There are things going on in this world and people are starting to pray. People are starting to pray. What about us? When these things begin to happen, have they been happening for a while? They're not beginning to happen anymore. They have been happening for a while. When these things begin to happen, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. There is nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance, so that the Lord can pour out His Spirit on a languishing and impenitent congregation. We don't value the power and efficacy of prayer as we should. Prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. My question and my appeal to you today is, when will you start to pray? Would you be willing to join me in prayer? Let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer right now. Dear Lord and our loving Father, I want to thank you for the power and the privilege of prayer. I want to thank you that when we don't know what to say, that you can send us your Holy Spirit and you can put words in our mouth to know what to say so we can lead more people to you. I ask you, Lord, that you be with the Stone Tower Church. And I know that we've done things in the past, but I know that you have planned amazing things for us in the future. I ask that you build momentum in this church, that you help our church to grow, and that you help it to be a light and a beacon to those around so that they can get to know you and no longer be fearful of what is to come. Please watch over us too and bless us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share two more final things. I am not only the pastor of Lents, of Stone Tower, I'm also the pastor of Lents. I'm going to be at Lents on the second and fourth Sabbaths. I'm going to be at Stone Tower on the first and the third Sabbaths, okay? Those are the board meetings, those are the prayer meetings. So I'm not here next week. Technically, I would be here in 2 weeks, but I'm going with my Pathfinder Club. Our Pathfinder started with two. Now we're at about 10. We have about 20 staff of the 10 Pathfinder Club because I don't know why we have more staff than Pathfinders, but I'm going with them to Gillette. I'm there for 2 weeks. So I'm not going to be here. I'll be back here on August 17, but that is Outdoor Sabbath. I believe I'm speaking for Outdoor Sabbath. So please come and join us at Outdoor Sabbath in a few weeks. Because I am a pastor, I am not only working and doing stuff on Sabbaths. I am active during the week. I'm going to be attending as many meetings as I can. I'm also going to be trying to visit a lot of you because you might not get a chance to talk to me here. But if you want me to go and visit you first, rather than like I just go through the list, let me know and I will try to book a time with your family and get to know you a little bit better. Amen? I want to get to know you. I want to get this church to grow and I want us to move from where we've been. Let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Dear Lord and our loving Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. We want to thank you for the opportunity to share this message together. And we ask, dear Lord, as we depart and head to fellowship lunch, we ask for your blessing on what we're going to do, your blessing on our conversation, your blessing on the congregation both here that are present and those that are watching online. Please watch over our next steps. And please guide our words, our thoughts, and our actions with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.